time to tell the neighbors that Charlie Evers' show is on. It's time that you can listen to eras long bygone. So email all your loved ones or call them on your phone and tell them Charlie Evers is on. It may be terminal wrinkles, it may be Hillary's hair, it may be on top of the courthouse, you bet old Charlie's there. You may be invited to dinner, but tell them you can't come. The Charlie Evers is on.
Okay, yes, we're back once again with Sacagawea and Pocahontas. Well, you know, it's fun to get all of you involved and if necessary, to correct me. Now, I thought Sacagawea was that statue there at Jamestown, Virginia, but I was wrong. And that Sacagawea, as you might have heard just before the break there, she traveled with the Lewis and Clark expedition thousands of miles from North Dakota to the Pacific Ocean. And that was a long time ago, of course. She died in 1812. Sacagawea. She was a Lemhi Shoshone woman. Okay. Then, of course, Pocahontas. Let me see a... all right. Pocahontas was a Native American woman notable for her association with the colonial settlement at Jamestown, Virginia. She was the daughter of Powhatan, the paramount chief of a network of tributary tribes in a name that I can't pronounce. Okay. And she died 1617. Wow. And she died in England, at Gravesend, Great Britain. Interesting. Pocahontas. In 1613, Pocahontas was kidnapped by the English, but the governor of Jamestown had her baptized and given the English name of Rebecca. She eventually married an Englishman named John Rolfe. The marriage helped promote peace between the natives and the colonists. Of course, John Rolfe was a tobacco grower. All right. So there you have a little more information. Boy, I tell you, these smartphones, anything you want to know, you don't need an encyclopedia. You don't even need a college education hardly anymore. Just type it in there and get your answer. Oh, my. It's just amazing. But now, how does all this information get there? Okay, we have a caller. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Hello, Charlie.
Yes.
When we're talking about being Eagles out there on Center Street, you know, police station.
Yes.
Do you remember what was in that building upstairs before the Eagles moved in?
No, I don't remember, no.
You don't remember?
No.
Well, when I was in high school at Harding, we always walk up there during exam week and kill time in the old Palace Theater, bowling alley.
Oh, really? Okay, yes. I remember that bowling alley, yeah.
Yeah, it was called the Palace Bowling Alley.
Right, yeah, Palace Recreation.
Before they closed and the Eagles moved in.
Right.
Yeah, and one more thing. When you're talking about Dellinger...
Yes.
He also used to hide out over around Carrington.
Oh, that's what I heard, yes.
Yeah, he hid around over Carrington, and it was either late 40s, early 50s. We were going to town. I don't know which outfit, I can't remember, but the old Marion County Bank was robbed. It was on a Saturday morning, and we were headed uptown, and the guys that robbed the bank, they were riding on the running boards of the car, and they turned and went up North State Street.
Wow.
And I don't believe it. It's either late 40s, early 50s. I can't remember the exact date.
Yeah. Interesting, but, yeah.
Remember the old Marion County Bank?
Yes, indeed, yes.
Yeah, it was on a Saturday morning.
Wow.
So, yeah, but I thought maybe you might have remembered.
Yeah, so I've only been in Marion since 1952.
Well, I haven't said it before that.
Okay.
Probably, yeah, right? Yeah, maybe a year or two before.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Bob. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yes, some history today, that's for sure. Now, going back to the geysers, now I might as well tell you, that's sulfur water. When the Old Faithful sprays, people say, hey, kids, I smell rotten eggs. Well, that's right. Yeah, it's a beautiful sight to see the geyser every so many minutes erupt. But that same thing goes on in Iceland and elsewhere. What is it about underneath our soil? We have sulfur water. You know, a lot of places have sulfur water in Marion County. And why underneath our soil, there's a lot of sulfur. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Hey, Charlie, why don't we give Scott a tape recorder and send him out of the nursing home before the rest of our history is lost?
Yeah, right.
Have him go out there and interview some of the key people, because when I was in college, I tried to get a grant to do this. And we're talking back in the 70s.
Yes.
A lot of those people were still around, and they said nobody'd be interested in that. But
Boy.
We could have a senior call-in day or something there, Charlie, and get some of this history on record before it disappears.
Yeah, you know, I used to do that back in the 70s. I taped a little bit, very little, and I had one-room school teachers call. And it was pretty good. I had, I think, probably six or seven of them call me and tell me about their experiences in an old one-room school.
Well, you know a few of them people around town, Charlie. They're still around. Some's got out there to get what's left out of them, extract what we can get, and get it down in digital history so it doesn't go anywhere.
That's right. We're all getting a little older.
Yeah, I can remember when Kennedy was shot, and it's like,
well, know, me too.
The key moments are they're you know, what do they got to remember now? The third time in Iraq or what?
Yeah, I can remember when Kennedy was shot. I went home, and I had just a young girl, just a baby, that I was feeding and listening to the radio at the same time. But I also remember when Kennedy was shot, one of the men I worked with hated Kennedy. And he said, they finally got the SOB. And I could have slugged him.
Well, I was sitting on a school bus, and my bus driver, her name was Miss Dominic, I remember that for all these years, told us Kennedy was shot, but you remember where he was when Elvis died?
Yeah, I don't remember where I was when Elvis died, but I remember Kennedy.
I was sitting in the most politically incorrect place you could be. I was in a Sambo's restaurant in Venice, Florida.
No kidding. Yeah, remember when we had a Sambo's in Marion?
We also got out there, at least a few people in Marion that are still around to know, Charlie, and get some of this down.
Yeah, we. As the Marion County Historical Society did have a session once where they, and I was on it, told everything they could remember, but we don't have enough of it, that's for sure.
It'd make an interesting show there at some point. I mean,
there's
still a very few of the people around in some of these places still got enough mind to tell you what's going on, but they're leaving quick, Charlie.
Oh, they are. You betcha. Yeah, okay. Sure. Well, hey, I appreciate you calling.
Thanks, Charlie.
All right. Yeah, that you know, that's the truth. There's so much history that has been lost, and especially for in my position, I'm 84 years old, and soon will be 85, and so I can remember a lot of things, but yet in my lifetime, it seems like so many people I knew are gone that knew a lot of history, but thank goodness. Kensel Clutter, who's in his 90s, a World War II veteran of the Air Force, he's going to be with me on June 1st there at the Palace Theater, one of the 22 people being, recognized. I really think Kensel Clutter is the greatest person, because I've known him for the early 70s and followed his work keeping the Clarendon Prairie area free of invasion are you know, out of the territory weeds. But Kensel, and he actually was able to find a Japanese film of his plane being shot down with him in it. Yeah. And he survived. And Kensel's over 90 years old now. And so it's going to be my privilege to be with him on June 1st, that's for sure. Okay, now, let's see, what else do I have here? Cross off Sacagawea and Pocahontas. Pocahontas is the statue at Jamestown, Virginia. Okay. And actually, I think she got picked up a disease when she and her husband went to England. I think it was not her spreading the disease. She picked it up from other white people, and it did her in. Okay. Now, going back to the current day, if you notice cars, and I think we talked about this before, cars have brighter taillights now than they had years ago. Remember when we had just one little light bulb in our taillight? It was easy to change. You just unscrewed the red lens and you put in a new bulb. Well, now it's a whole different story. There is a different kind of light that's used in cars of today. Now, it's a type of light that originated with the lightning bug, really, I think. But anyhow, what is that? Can you describe what's in the new lights on cars? What is it called? And there's three letters, LED. What is that? That describes the, I don't know if it has to do with the headlights, but for sure, the taillights. Also, in that same vein, there is a chemical that's being used in all the new batteries in that smartphone in your pocket and in other devices. There is a chemical composition to that battery, and that chemical comes, I don't know if any of it comes from the United States, but other countries. Okay, caller, go ahead.
For LED, is that light emitting diode?
Yeah, light emitting diode. Yes.
Oh, diode.
Yes. Okay. Well, hey, would you like a prize today?
Oh, sure, Charlie.
Okay. What would you like?
What do you have?
I've got two tickets to the Columbus Zoo. And I've got an extra large t-shirt from Jegs and a coffee cup.
Well, how about the zoo?
Okay, all right. And you are, I should recognize your voice. What's your name? Wait, do that again. Suddenly you faded away.
11:30 call coming in from
the... Sarah Burgraff?
Oh, Sarah, yes, okay. All right, Sarah. All right.
Well, Charlie, I gotta go.
Okay, hey. See ya. Okay, Sarah Burgraff. Okay. Gets two tickets to the Columbus Zoo. All right. She is the first winner this season of zoo tickets. Yes. Today is the, 16th day? It sure is of May. May 16th. Wow. Okay. So there it is. Our first winner today. Light-emitting diodes. Boy, they're so efficient, too. Oh, my goodness. And so much brighter. Oh. Okay. And now I need to know the name of the chemical in the batteries that sometimes causes a problem. But I don't think it all comes, this particular very expensive component. I don't know if it comes from China or some other country. I'm not sure. Can you name it, though? And it's got a lot of headlines lately. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Hello?
Yes.
Hold on a minute, sir.
Passing the batteries.
This must be Bob.
Acid batteries?
Yeah. What's the name of it? We're cutting in and out.
The acid?
I don't know if it's me or...
You can't hear me.
Okay, Bob, go ahead again.
Charlie.
Maybe I'm cutting out. Maybe it's, I don't know. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll have to wait for him to call back. I'm trying to think. I don't know if I might be going deaf. I don't know. I can, all of a sudden, I can hear out of my deaf ear. Maybe I need to turn my...
I've got my milk and my bowl and my saucer.
Sounds like you're getting ready for breakfast. What are you having?
Well, I'm having a bowl of golden grams with a side of toast with golden butter and a nice golden glass of apple juice.
I should have known. WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back once again. Now I can hear. Wonder what it was. I don't know. Maybe a creepy crawler got into the equipment. But I can, everything is just fine now. Okay. So going back to the special ingredient in the new batteries, what is that special ingredient? It has caused some problems. Sometimes batteries have caught on fire because of this particular chemical, apparently. What's its name? 7403399944. Okay, now, I'll give you another question here. There is, in most boats, down below where, well, say, in boats that owned by people, not big ships, although big ships have the same thing, what is it called underneath the floorboards of your boat where the engine is? Now, if you have an engine with an enclosed motor underneath, what is that area down there underneath? What's it called? There's a name to it. In fact, in a lot of the smaller boats, you have a pump. And if you accumulate any water in that area, it pumps it out with a pump called what name of that area. Do you know what I'm talking about? What is that area below deck? Okay, let me see here. All right, I'm just checking my wires. What is the name of that area underneath the deck of a boat? What's it called? It's where any water or anything else could accumulate that you'd need to get rid of. Okay, here's a caller. Yes, caller, go ahead.
Well, it's a bilge pump, so I assume it's a bilge.
You're right. A bilge pump, yes. Yeah. Oh, boy. Okay, would you like a prize today?
No, not today, Charlie. Okay. I've been winning a lot of stuff.
Okay, all right. Well, thanks for calling.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yes, the bilge pump. I once had a boat with a bilge. And my boat, it kind of leaked every now and then, and I had to use my pump more than once. Okay, caller, go ahead. Are you there? Let's see, I see your phone number here. Okay. Well, go back to the phones once again. If you couldn't get through, call me again. 740, yeah, here we go. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Okay, would that be the bow on a boat?
No, it was a bilge.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. All right, thanks. Yeah, there's a lot of different parts to a boat. You know, there's the stem and the stern. Yeah, and then I had a boat that underneath it had a, where the propeller was. The propeller was in a little area, called a skeg, S-K-E-G. Now, the skeg was a little thing that if you ran aground, your boat would slide on that skeg, and it was it protected the propeller. Oh, no, I'm talking about a long time ago. 11:35 is the time, and, the battery, that's right. What's the name of the ingredient of a modern battery that sometimes causes a problem? What is that name? What's the name of the, involved to that battery? And a lot of you have that right in your house right now. 11:35 is the time. Today is the 16th day of the month of May. Wow, how time is flying. Thank goodness it's starting to warm up. And what a beautiful day it is. But like they always say, yes, it's beautiful today, but we've got a big storm coming tomorrow. Well, I don't know if there's a big storm or not. We could get some rain tomorrow. But, you know, this is the time of the year when you have to be kind of cautious when storms are predicted, because we are in an area which they don't publicize, really, called Tornado Alley. Now, there are other tornado alleys in the United States, but there is one that starts in the lower Illinois area, comes up through the Cincinnati area, and heads northeast. And we just happen to be on the western edge of Tornado Alley. Well, you just remember the other day, a tornado went through the Shelby area, and that was on the same course, you might say, as I don't know where it formed or how long it was on the ground, but I remember seeing the area that it came from. We're in an area susceptible. Well, look at Carlington. Carlington was devastated more or less by a tornado in 1981. And then southwest of here, we had the Palm Sunday tornadoes of 1965. And then the Xenia tornado. You look at the direction where all those locations are, and you'll see it's on a diagonal starting down the Cincinnati area, coming up, and sometimes comes a little bit this way. But a lot of times, thank goodness for us in Marion, it goes to the east of us. Now, we had a minor tornado that came through the Boy Scout camp. Remember that? That was, I don't know how long ago that was. I saw that tornado. I saw it forming. I was in Waldo at the time, traveling north, and I stopped at a traffic light, and I was looking around, and I looked up in the sky, and there was this cone-shaped cloud. And I thought, uh-oh, and I started to see it dip down. And I was scared to death when I got to Marion what damage it would have done. But that was the tornado that went through Camp Owens, the Boy Scout camp. Took down some trees. But yes, we are in an area where you can't poo-poo the fact that, you know, we could get tornadoes. And that's why, and I've seen it happen, maybe you have too, a tornado siren will go off and no one changes their pattern of life. You'll see them out mowing the lawn, sirens blaring, take cover, they're out mowing their yard. Because since it hasn't happened right directly here, people tend to think, well, that's just another warning. Okay, so what is that ingredient in a battery? It starts with the letter L. Can you think of that? Okay, and if you can get that, I only have one more question today. Boy, and we've gone through several. The old Marion Hotel, Sacagawea, the Bentley cars, the sulfur smell of a... Okay, here we go. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Yes, that would be lithium.
Lithium is correct. Yes, all right. Okay, would you like a prize today?
Okay, what you got for prizes?
I got a zoo ticket, a pair of zoo tickets, or an extra large T-shirt or a coffee cup.
I'll take the T-shirt, I guess.
Oh, good. Okay, it's an extra large, and I'll have it for you right here. Okay.
Lithium major producer is Australia.
Australia, okay.
Closely followed by Chile.
I didn't think it was United States, okay. Oh, what is your name?
Larry Adkins.
Oh, Larry, okay. All right, Larry. And, okay, and your tickets will be here for you.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Larry Adkins. Yes, lithium. Okay, and I'm glad that he was able to tell us where lithium is produced. It's not the United States. That's why I suppose lithium would cost more. Let me see. Let me put this down here, T-shirt. Okay. 516 today. Okay. Boy, we've only given away two things today, a T-shirt and a pair of zoo tickets. How about that? And one question is left, unless I think of something else. This has to do with also with something floating in the water, a ship. And this time, it's not a small ship or boat. This would be a large one. And maybe you've seen some of them launch. And you know, boats, you know, the larger ships all have that funny thing on the bottom. You know, you see them sailing through the water, and you don't see that tubular thing on the bottom. But it's there. And some of the bigger cruise ships have extra propellers to maneuver when they get into a tight situation in the harbor. They need to maneuver a lot of different directions, and they have these extra propellers. But that's not what I'm looking for that information. What is there in the bottom of a ship that keeps it steady? What is in the bottom of a regular ship? And it's more than water. Some of them have water, and then they come to the United States from overseas, and they pump the water out into our harbors, and in that water sometimes can be little bad animals that multiply. I think that's how we've got the mussels. Remember the mussels in Lake Erie? And they ended up, believe it or not, in making Lake Erie water clearer. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Is it ballast?
Yes, ballast. Yes, okay. All right. And would you like something, a prize today?
You got any zoo tickets left?
Yes, I sure do.
Okay.
All right, and what is your name?
Jerry Harris.
Jay Harris, okay. All right, Jay, thanks a lot. Okay, bye. Okay, Jay Harris. Zoo tickets, all right, yeah. Today is the first day for zoo tickets, all right. And eventually, we'll also have Zumbezi Bay. But it's kind of cool right now for Zumbezi Bay. Oh, my. Well, right now it's 11:43. Okay, so does anyone have anything else to pass along? Any information? We've talked about a lot of different things today. We did yesterday, too. And now Fred Malone will be in tomorrow, and Fred will be talking about not only the Marion County Historical Society, but the Malabar Farm area and a lot of other things. And so, tomorrow will be Fred Malone Day. Right now, the time is 11:43, and let me see. Do I have anything else I could ask you? I'm trying to think. Oh, yeah, here's one. There is a car being produced today, not in the United States, but on its emblem, and I think I've asked this before, on its emblem, is there's something to do with outer space. Now, what would that be that would have to do with outer space on the emblem of this car? 740, well, it's 11:44 right now. 7403399 44. Can you guess what that would be? What car would you find today? And there are a lot of them out there, more and more all the time. On its emblem, you'll find something to do with outer space. Here's somebody I bet knows. Okay, caller, go ahead.
Is it a Subaru?
Yes, it is a Subaru. Yeah, the Pleiades emblem. Yes. Hey, how about that? Okay, now I've got a tea. Let's see, what do I have left here today? Not much. So, I tell you what, call in tomorrow. Maybe you'll be a winner tomorrow.
Okay, thank you, Charlie.
Okay, all right, bye. Okay. Let's see. What was it? Yeah.
Hey, Scott, I bet you cannot guess what my favorite type of animal is.
Cats?
No, dogs. Now, can you guess what my favorite type of dog is?
Black lab.
No, golden retriever. Was there any doubt?
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Three, two, one. Oh, no. Which button am I...
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear... Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Okay, we're back once again. It's 11:46 right now, and a beautiful day out there. I hope you're going to take advantage of it. What a nice day to be taking a walk, riding a bicycle, or doing anything, working in your garden, getting all your flowers in the ground. I've got all mine in the ground. Now I just wait for them to flourish. And here's another thing. Did I tell you about the sprinkling can I bought? I bought it. It was really $20 I paid for it. But it was a classic, you know, it had a long spout on it, and it's like you see in pictures, and I thought, man, that'd be great. I think it holds about 2 gallons. I bought it, I think, 2 years ago, and rust got to it or something, and the soldered areas started breaking away. And so I got out my Gorilla Glue, and I... And I glued her up, and it hasn't leaked since. I even glued the spout, the long spout, which was came loose. It's welding or soldering came loose. And so I put it in the right position and poured my Gorilla Glue over it. And by George, it's worked just great. Gorilla Glue is a handy thing to have. Now, of course, Gorilla Glue also manufactures tape. It's a little tougher than duct tape. But anyhow, I've relied on glue for a lot of things in my lifetime. But the Gorilla Glue worked perfect on my galvanized metal sprinkling can, which I wasn't going to buy another for $20, that's for sure. If I had had to buy another new one, I'd have bought a smaller plastic one. Okay, 11:48 is the time. Now, tonight... In the library, James Anderson will have a program, and it's going to be mighty interesting, called Wild Edible and Medicinal Plant. And the program will be at the Marion Public Library from 7 till 8. From 7 till 8 p.m. tonight. Now, this would be a program that could introduce you to a lot of the plants I've talked about. Plants you can eat. And there's one, James Anderson on Facebook put a picture of some of the plants that he's going to talk about. One of the plants is named Creeping Charlie. Now, Creeping Charlie, you can eat. I don't think you'd want to eat too much of it, though. It kind of would get to you. Creeping Charlie has kind of a minty taste to it. And there's only so much of that you could, you know, tolerate. But Creeping Charlie is everywhere. Oh, my goodness. Purplish flowers on it. But he's going to have a lot of others, including violets. A violet is a great edible flower that is so delicate. It's just as delicate in taste as it is in sight. A violet. Such beautiful flowers, are they? And so delicate, the violet. Now there's another flower, and I've talked about it before, the dandelion. Now, the other day, I was sitting on my front steps and looking over the dandelions in our yard. And every now and then, there's a bee buzzing around, getting whatever he needed out of the dandelion. Probably a lot of pollen, for one thing. And I thought to myself, everybody's killing their dandelions. No wonder the bee population is going down. They need things to eat. Whatever a bee takes out of a flower. And then if you take the flowers away, what's the bee going to do? Nothing. You just fade away. But we kill all of our dandelions, don't we? I don't know what it is. The yellow in a dandelion is a beautiful color. And but I guess I can understand people don't want a whole yard full of yellow dandelions. Now, we never do anything to get rid of ours, so we've got dandelions galore. Then they mature, and their little seeds fly over to the neighbor's yard, and pretty soon dandelions come up. Also, there's another plant that is, we don't eat it, it's poisonous, and that's a milkweed. That's one thing you would never do, never taste the liquid in a milkweed or eat a leaf. The only varmint, if you can call it that, that enjoys the milkweed without any retribution, that is the larva of the monarch butterfly. Boy, he'll eat that milkweed plant right down. Down the hatchet goes. And anything else that would eat would die. And other animals stay away from eating the larva of the monarch butterfly because they know if they would eat that larva, and it's a very beautiful color, black and yellow, if they ate that, they too would die. And so the larva of the monarch butterfly enjoys a happy, free life. No one's going to touch him. And so the milkweed plant is poisonous to anyone who wants to imbibe the leaves or anything else, except the larva of the monarch butterfly. There might be, I guess there are some other bugs that can also eat it that are impervious to the poison in that plant. So there are other plants with poison. Now, poison ivy, for one thing, and it is really growing profusely right now. We've had so much rain, and the poison ivy plant just loves rain, of course. It likes sending up new shoots. And the thing is, you don't want to touch the poison ivy plant because, you know, it emits a little ingredient on your fingers and hands and arms that is highly irritant. And so be very careful if you're out around the poison ivy. Make sure you wash your hands and arms when you're done working around it, because it can be devastating. Certain people are even more susceptible to poison ivy. And you've heard some people say, well, never bothers me. I can work in it all day and I never get it. Well, that's because their skin is tough. It's just like an engineer I knew who could stick his fingers in a light socket and tell me whether it was 110 or whether the electric was even turned on, because he had thick-skinned fingers. And when that is, you don't, I often wonder, too, when you go to a doctor, what's the first thing they do when you go to a doctor? They got that little thing they clip on your, one of your fingers. Do you know what that's for? I bet some of you don't or never even ask what that is, because they never tell you, do they? The first thing, you go into a doctor's office and you sit down and they come out with that thing, they put it on your finger. And then they, it's there for a little while, and they take it off and write down what it read. It's reading the amount of oxygen in your blood. That's what it's for, believe it or not. And I often think of people with thin skin, or with skin that's a little tough. How does it manage to read your pulsating blood in your finger when you've got such, you know, maybe you work hard, maybe your fingers are all calloused and everything. Does it still read? I guess it does. And it's amazing how it does it. You just clip it on your finger, and it tells you how much oxygen is in your blood. And, of course, the ideal thing would be 100%. But mine runs anywhere from the upper 80s to the mid-90s. And it's fun. You can actually buy those little tools at your family drugstore and clip it on your finger every now and then and see how much oxygen that's in your blood. Now, here's something else you can do. You clip that on your finger, and then you'd start breathing through your nose. You hold your tongue to the roof of your mouth so you can breathe through your nose. And you take a few deep breaths, and you watch that thing on your finger, and you'll see the numbers go up. Because as you breathe through your nose and exhale through your mouth, you're putting more oxygen in your blood. And it reads right away. And you'd be surprised. I can't believe it. But you watch that thing on your finger, and you take those deep breaths, and you'll see it start to climb in numbers, indicating you're taking those deep breaths, and you're putting more oxygen in your blood. But now, that oxygen would also go where? All through your brain, do some good, maybe, I don't know. But that's the first thing they want to read, not only your amount of oxygen in your blood, but the pressure in that bloodstream, yeah, your blood pressure. Now, did you notice, if you've been to the hospital lately, they've got this wireless thing they put on your arm, and it transmits a signal to their instrument. Yeah, there's all kinds of advancements in medicine, not only in the pills and the types of treatment, but the little doodads, this and that, the oxygen measurements in your blood, which now the next time you go to a doctor, ask him what did that read? And if he or she, probably the nurse, but, well, it's only reading 75, that's an indication that you've got to do something to get more oxygen in your blood, because that is so important for your brain to function and other parts of your body to function. You've got to have that oxygen. Okay, so now it's 11:57 and a half. Now, is there any question about gardening or anything else you'd like to ask? How are all are your plants doing okay? Now, you haven't had to water them much, if at all, maybe when you set them out to begin with. And so I've got mine all in place, and I'm waiting right now for my bee balm. It's almost 2.5 feet tall, and soon it will break out into blossoms, and then the bees will arrive. That's why it's called bee balm. And it has a quaint smell to it, and the bees love it. And we need to set out more plants to produce the nectar that bees like. And the same way as the hummingbirds. You know, you've got to have some flowers that produces nectar that hummingbirds like. Not only can you hang that water, sugar water, on your back porch for the hummingbirds, but, you know, if you plant a lot of flowers, they'll love you for that. And so it is. It's 11:58 and a half right now, and today is Thursday. Tomorrow, Fred Malone will be in, and today we've had a good day so far. We've given away two pairs of zoo tickets, and a T-shirt, and a partridge in a pear tree. We're coming up. It's 11:59 right now. And what else is happening? Did you ever go into the internet to look up the definition of robo? Try that. Go to Google and type in R-O-B-O and see what you get. Now, I'm talking about, you know, those robo calls that's been in the news lately that most of you listening right now, within 15 minutes, will walk up to your phone and there will be somebody trying to sell you something. That's a robo call. But looking up the definition of robo is something else. And and here it says, okay, there, you have to make sure it goes to robo and not robot. Okay, we're about done for today. Hope you have a nice day today. And get out and breathe deeply through your nose, for one thing.
Exhale. You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For legendary First Lady of Broadcasting in Marion, Madge Cooper.
If you have a new announcer and he's not from this area, you make sure that before he went on the air the first time, you said, it is not Bucky Russ.
Then got back into radio, and now I'm doing some syndicated shows for Ducks Unlimited and for the Toyota Motor Company.
You got a commercial in there, and you weren't authorized.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And Madge, we got the first little portable recorders. Remember those? And I still got mine.
Marilyn used to put hers in front of the microphone to play it.
Yes, yes.
You brought it back from New York, didn't you?
I need a mic.
There you go.
Sometimes they worked and sometimes they didn't. I got that thing to New York, interviewing a Paris designer. And they said, well, you know, you can't work this anywhere up here. You have to go down to the basement where there is DC current. So I took Pauline Trigier. I took Pauline Trigier into the basement of this hotel to interview her there. And she is a slick announcer.